Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Anime Podcast. I'm Trey, your point guard.
And I'm Xavier, Mr. Referee.
Okay, sure. Good morning, everybody. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this show is not intended for kids, even if our favorite shows totally are.
All right, so let's get to it. As you may have guessed from our nicknames or whatever I decide to title this episode, they come to me usually as I'm uploading them. This episode is about sports anime, and I guess it's sort of our first episode where we just sort of do a genre in review rather than something surrounding anime culture. But I think we're still going to start off the same because this question isn't as obvious as it might seem on first blush. Trey, what do you think of when you think of what's a sports anime?
Okay. Now, before I tell you what I think of when I think of a sports anime, I do need to comment that I listened to some of our previous episodes over the past week, and I like how you call us the boys in the episode descriptions because it makes us sound like we have some fancy third editor who does all of our uploading because you're writing it from like a distance point of view, and it makes us feel way fancier than we are, and I just needed to personally thank you for that.
No, just my separate personalities. I don't edit this podcast. Tommy does.
Oh, fucking course. His name's Tommy. Okay. But sports anime. You have more experience in sports anime than I do. But generally, the base idea is this is an anime where instead of the action or the emotional punches of the series coming from romance or fights, or a myriad of other things, they come from the action of playing sports and the lives of the athletes that surround the sports playing. It doesn't necessarily need to have the sport at the focus or have the sport as the best moment in the series, but it's a series where much of the narrative is driven by sports and many plot progression points happen because of interactions between sports or the players on these teams or managers or things of that nature.
I think that's a pretty solid definition of sports anime. The only things I would tack on was one, anime has a very vague definition of what a sport is. So a sport can literally be like a board game. They don't fucking care. It's a sport now. And also, the sport doesn't have to be strictly real. There are made-up sports in a lot of sports anime, famously Basquatch. It's basketball, but with giant robots wearing Jordans.
It's fantastic. Basquatch comes up often. The things that come to mind for board games or other fictional sports, board games include things like Hikaru no Go, which is about playing Go. Fictional sports include things like Keijo, and if you don't know what Keijo is, go look it up, kids. It's fantastic in a very stupid way.
There's also, I think it's interesting that you mentioned, like, the main driving force of the plot isn't necessarily the romance or the fights or anything like that, but how sports sort of affect these people's lives. But what I find interesting and very compelling about sports anime is sports facilitates all the things that normally would be, like, locked into an anime genre. So, for instance, in shonen, you get a lot of action, you might get a side romance, but more often than not, it's the fandom ships a bunch of people, and the author decides randomly at the end who the characters are going to end up with. Not we're building up a romance, but sports anime sort of like juggle that line, as well as a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, yeah, and one of my personal favorite sports anime does this fantastically, which is Masaki Yuasa's Ping Pong the Animation, which, while ping pong is a central focus of the series, obviously, right? It doesn't stay in the lane of just ping pong. It's also very much using the sport to tell a very character-driven story about the emotions and the lives of the people playing ping pong.
And I think it's worth saying that because of that weird juggling act that a lot of sports anime like to do, you don't need to like the sport that's being played in the anime to enjoy the anime, because it's kind of a slice of life show that's stealing elements from other genres and just containing that within a sport.
Oh, totally. And you see this with some sports that take after shonen more, right? you see things like Kurokono Basket or Haikyuu taking a lot of the hype elements and the battle elements of a shonen battle series and putting them into sports. But then you also end up with things like Ping Pong that, while being hype and incredible to watch and having fantastic visuals, are just sort of different, as well as in series like Yuri on Ice, which is, for much of its runtime, a character drama and a romance and an exploration of a bunch of different facets of the human condition in the backdrop of ice skating.
And I always find it interesting how in sports anime, there are sometimes long swaths they go without playing the game or even talking about the game, but it's still a sports anime. Like, you know, they're always going to go back to whatever the game is eventually.
Yeah. And I think it's important to reiterate that they're going to return to the sport a lot, and the sport is important, but what the sport specifically is not necessarily the most important, right? Like, in Gintama, one of the greatest series, flat out ever, in my opinion, there is a part where they kind of mock sports anime by playing Kick the Can competitively. And it's fantastic and hilarious, but no one in the real world is, like, freaking out about the competitive Kick the Can tier lists.
This is in before someone like fucking links the competitive Kick the Can league.
They're gonna shoot me like an ESPN 8 the Ocho link and be like, fucking loser, you don't even know who insert name of top Kick the Can player is or something. And if you do that, you get a gold star in the DMs, just letting you know.
Which is totally fair, because, like, I like a lot of sports anime, and a lot of sports anime have, like, turned me on to sports I might like, but, like, I don't watch sports a ton. I watch sports a little bit, but I watch a lot of sports anime. And it's weird to me, because sports are something that young people are supposed to play, but older people enjoy watching, and I don't think that's the same for sports anime at all, and I don't think that there's even, like, a seinen sports anime, really.
That's true. There are more character-driven and story-driven sports anime, but I wouldn't go so far as to say I know of any seinen sports anime that are, like, directly intended for, like, adults to enjoy. Most sports anime, at least in my experience, and most sports manga, are targeted to a teen-ish audience, younger boy audience, you know, in the same vein as many a shonen or shoujo show or series is. And that's always been interesting to me, because the people I live with in my life who are older really love watching sports, right? My dad loves watching football. He loves watching golf. He loves watching basketball. He used to play basketball, right? But I don't think I could get my dad to sit down and get, like, really into Kurokono Basket with me. Which is fine. He doesn't need to, but there's this sort of age dynamic in sports anime.
Yeah, it's weird because it's a hard sell, and maybe it's because, like, anime, for a lot of people, is still looked on as a cartoon, or maybe it's just that it's like, why would I watch these animated characters when I could watch, like, Jordan reruns? Because unlike a lot of anime, it's based on something that, like, you can get in the real world.
That's true, and I will go so far as to say that Michael Jordan and the rest of his team, you know, they're basically anime characters. I watched The Last Dance, which is something that may come up multiple times in this, and it's an excellent docuseries. That team pulled some anime bullshit for, like, years straight, and I've never watched something in real life and been able to just pinpoint, be like, yeah, no, turns out real basketball is just like anime basketball, minus, like, I assume, like, Scottie Pippen doesn't have the fucking basketball Sharingan or something.
I can basically confirm that a lot of, like, famous sports players have very anime-esque character arcs. Like, even if you look at, like, Tonya Harding's career before you know what happened, or Shaun White, or Michael Phelps, or any of these guys, like, you could make an anime out of their life. Probably really easy. It's kind of weird, but I think that's also why sports anime works. Also, thinking back, I don't think it's a seinen series, but the most mature sports anime that I can think of off the top of my head that's not Yuri on Ice, and I'm only saying that's mature because character drama, really, is like Prince of Tennis. Because Prince of Tennis goes some weird, like, mature places where it's like, I'll fucking kill you with this tennis ball. Just watch me.
I might need to get into Prince of Tennis then. I'm here for very intense tennis matches, I'll be real. It is important to note, we are not ageist or gatekeeping. I know people that are older than Xavier and I who really like sports anime, but those people tend to be people who have been anime fans for a long time and who watched sports anime when they were younger, in the same way that I am still going to get really, really hype for stuff like Ippo when I'm in my 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, because it's Ippo, and I really like Ippo now, and I personally don't think I will lose the luster that I have for Shonen Battle series or sports series to the point where, like, I'll lose my love for it entirely, you know?
And I promise you that Ippo will still be running when you're in your 30s and 40s.
I'm going to be like 95, and the guy writing Ippo is going to come out of his grave and be like, look, we're making Ippo 2. I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh my god.
You're caught up on Ippo, right? Or almost?
Yeah, no, I'm caught up on Ippo. Like, completely now. I did it over the weekend while I was watching Fire Force.
Oh my god. That's like 1,300 manga chapters now?
Yeah.
All right, you win the sports anime weeb card. But yeah, you were doing transition there. I had to interrupt to flex how much of a weeb you were, but go for it.
That's fair. But I wanted to say, I think we've covered a good basis of, like, what a sports anime is, what demographic it sort of gets chomping at the bit. And I will reiterate, like, we're not being ageist. We understand that anime fans come from all walks of life, and you can never generalize a fan base. We're just sort of talking about the median, and the median is never going to encompass the whole. And we recognize that, but for the purposes of conversation, we sort of have to limit ourselves, unfortunately. However, now we can move to, what do you think makes a good sports anime? Like, what are those ingredients that you need?
For me personally, I don't need it to look good or be, like, exceptionally well-drawn or animated, but that is preferable, which is why I have a love for things like Ping Pong or the later seasons of Kuroko's No Basket, you know? That being said, I really love when there's a dedication to either making the sport, like, legitimately as real as it can be and not doing any of the anime fantasy bullshit, or going, like, balls to the wall with it, like Kuroko no Basket does.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And this might just be me being biased because I really enjoy sports shows, but does it seem to you like, on average, sports anime has disturbingly good animation? Because thinking back to it, even something like Hikaru no Go, where there's not a lot happening because it's very much just them playing Go, is really pretty.
Yeah. This is another thing, like, it tends to be really well drawn, at least in my experience. Like Fukumoto's Akagi is a manga where the guy plays Mahjong for like dozens of chapters straight, and all of the visual metaphors are drawn fantastically, and the Mahjong is super intense. But it's basically a character drama sports anime about Mahjong. And then you look at things like Slam Dunk, which is fucking gorgeous, you know. They tend to be drawn really well, and I like to think that's because the people who are going into making sports anime and manga, at least in broad strokes, have a passion for conveying the sport, right? Or they have like a love for conveying the sport, at least when they go into making the manga of it. And then the people who animate it just translate it well, perhaps.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of passion, because even when it gets more fantastical, like Kuroko no Basket, you can tell that they still knew enough about the sport to, like, know where to stretch the boundaries and know how to keep it fun. I also think that maybe it helps that there's a lot more you can model off of. Like, if I'm making a shonen anime, there's only so many models I can look at to be like, this is what it looks like when Natsu uses the Iron Fist of the Fire Dragon. This is what I'm saying it looks like. Fuck off. But, like, you can go look at people playing basketball and sort of tap into that and use it as an image reference.
I don't know what you're talking about. Kishimoto got all of the art for the end of Naruto from just going out in the woods and finding crazy people committing Buddhism. That's exactly what he did, and you can't change my mind. But in seriousness, yeah, I think the fact that they tend to focus on real world sports does make it a bit easier, because for creating a basketball series, literally a nearly endless well of inspiration from the real world, because basketball is a wildly successful sport both in Japan and in the United States, and it's been a cultural touchstone for decades. Same for baseball, you know. Even sports episodes in non-sports series tend to look really great. The one that comes to mind being the epic, fantastic, perfect baseball episode of Samurai Champloo, which is gorgeous, and the, like, 2 minutes of Sakuga I saw of Brand New Animal's softball scene or whatever, that just looks fantastic.
One of my favorite, and this is something we hadn't even planned to talk about, but there are a lot of anime that will randomly be like, we're going to do sports for one episode, and it always looks amazing. One of my favorite is the Boondocks yes! kickball
I knew, episode. I knew you were going to say that, because it came to my mind as soon as you did that.
And as we've established, the Boondocks is an anime in this household. You don't have to agree, but hey. Boondocks is already pretty as fuck, like, when it wants to be, especially during action sequences.
They went really hard. Yeah, for those who don't know, the Boondocks is an American animated television series that we are calling an anime. That is obviously very anime-inspired in many of its moments, and when it needs to be, it is exceptionally pretty in some of these fight scenes, and it's very fantastic when the fights happen, like old men and 12-year-olds beating the shit out of each other in a movie theater with nunchucks and stuff. It's a mop. It's all fantastic. But the kickball episode is another level of just sort of, we did really pretty anime action, and you guys should, first of all of you should watch the Boondocks. Second of all, at least go watch this episode, or like a compilation of every time Stinkmeaner shows up and they fight, because those are all fantastic.
Yeah, and also Boondocks will borrow a lot of like anime tropes for writing, almost, or it seems like it, not saying that it like directly is trying to look to that for inspiration. And the writing gets really anime during that kickball episode.
It really does. I think one of, and this is a minor spoiler, not a huge deal, when they're speaking in another language and then he responds in the other language and then just starts wailing on them with the kickball is godly. And it's just some like anime, I knew what you were saying the whole time, ha ha ha, like bullshit, and it's fantastic.
Returning to the point though, okay, yeah. So it's gotta look pretty.
What do you think? Because I think pretty, I think it can either be really crazy or really grounded. I want the characters to feel real or well-realized, because I do genuinely care a lot about how the sport conveys the characters and conveys the characters' arcs with the sport. That's something I look for a lot. But what about you? This is your turn now.
So, in a good sports anime, strangely enough, I don't care what the sport is. I'll give most sports anime, like, the benefit of the doubt. Even if it doesn't seem that interesting on first blush, like Prince of Tennis. I'm not a tennis fan. Prince of Tennis is one of my favorite sports like series to watch, because the characters are really good. Because the sport, there's a wide cast of characters. And if I'm going to spend my time with like 8 to 14 people on a regular basis, then I want them to be people I care about. And I know that they're not all going to get the same amount of screen time, just because that's how it works, but they should all be interesting. I think Kuroko strikes a really good chord with this, where every character has their moment, and every character is a decent design, even though you know you're not going to get time with all of those characters.
I agree entirely. I think Kuroko is excellent at this, in the fact that it starts off by giving you Kuroko and the other, like Kagami and the other, like, one or two guys on the main team. It drip feeds you over a whole season all of the other members of the Generation of Miracles, except you barely get any experience with the guy who has purple as his aesthetic. But they drip feed you all of the Generation of Miracles. And then throughout the first season, they flesh out the other people on the team, like the team captain who wears glasses, or the guy who has like the I can sense where everything is because of my eagle eyes and things like that, that are their seniors, you know, because Kagami and Kuroko are freshmen. And it fleshes those characters out during like the rematches with the Generation of Miracles who have already beaten them. And at least the first season does a fantastic job of setting up all of these characters for future arcs and things in a way that doesn't feel like overbloated exposition, and in a way that doesn't slow down the action at all.
That was actually going to be my next thing, where I think a sports anime, more than a lot of anime, has to have good pacing because it's so specialized. And because there's so much going on, because borrowing from a lot of genres, you need to place those sections in the exact right place, or I could be reading Ippo and really wanting to get to like a tournament arc or get to just another boxing match or a title defense, and I'm stuck in the character drama portion, and then my will to read goes down.
Or possibly you get stuck in the sports version, the sports section, and you don't get enough access to the characters you want to learn more about, so the sports feel like they're hitting less hard, which is also terrible. The pacing is exceptionally important in these series. That's a really good point to bring up.
I also think that more than a lot of series, the rival characters, again, just because there's so many of them, and you want each rival to be memorable, the rival characters, or at least the main rival, has to always be on point. And they don't even have to be relatable, but I have to at one point be like, he either deserved that win, I'm sad that the main character didn't win, or I really want the rival to win.
That's fair, and I hate to keep wailing on it, but this is possibly my favorite sports series. I think Kuroko does that really well with the other members of the Generation of Miracles. I think specifically, I'm double checking his name, Aomine, like the ace of the Generation of Miracles, the blue hair guy who fucking like bodies them the first time they play.
Yeah.
I think he specifically as like the strongest rival character for me at the start of that series. And then of course the red guy, Akashi, also fantastic rival, hits that perfectly, because there are times where I genuinely was not certain if I wanted Kuroko and Kagami to beat Aomine or not. And then with the other rival characters, Midorima, Kisei, like, they make them side commentator characters, you know? So you never feel too far away from the other rivals while one of the main rivals is getting to play the game and be in the spotlight for a while. So it keeps your interest and your activity with all of the rivals really, really present.
Yeah, because unlike a lot of other anime genres, you can't just throw the rivals or the antagonist away after you use them all of the time. There needs to be this recurring cast of characters, because like in regular sports, you'd like to think a singular loss is not the end of this character's career. They're still doing things in the background. They're still trying to get better right alongside the main character.
Oh, totally. And that's why I think sports anime kind of has a broad appeal to non-anime fans, as long as the fan is a fan of sports, because a lot of anime and a lot of sports have the same appeal, at least in like longer anime. Long-form storytelling, engaging characters, right? Groups of people that you want to care about and see develop over time, right? The easiest way to point at this is, like, look at someone who was really interested in, like, what Sasuke was doing for, like, 500 chapters of Naruto. Dude, it's the same guy as like, the guy who's at the Bills game, like, rooting for his favorite quarterback and then breaking a fucking table when the Bills lose or win, you know?
Absolutely. Like, the fanboyism or fangirlism for sports is very comparable to just being a weeb, which I think is really interesting. And the episode before this was on power scaling. What is a baseball card if not just like a proto data book?
That's some of the best thing. That's one of the best things I have ever heard you say. Possibly in our time being friends. That was fucking beautiful.
because you can't, and this always bothered me, right? With sports player cards, because there's like NASCAR cards, there's like football cards, all these. All you can do is collect them and memorize the stats. There is no game to be played.
Oh my God. We've even sat down and like walked around our campus having conversations about like making tier lists of like Packers quarterbacks and stuff and trying to rank Brett Favre among modern quarterbacks and stuff based on Brett Favre's peak. Like, oh my God. Sports fans do the power scaling too.
Yeah, they just don't call it power scaling. There are, when you really think about it, people who get paid to get on ESPN or SportsCenter or wherever you get your sports news from to analyze and power scale real people in sports.
Swag Kage and Seth the Programmer have the same job as the five guys who sit on ESPN and like yell at each other about who they're going to win and like vote before big NFL games. They have the same job.
It's the same job title. And I'll make it even weirder. The conversation about if LeBron is the greatest basketball player of all time versus Michael Jordan is literally just asking, I wonder if Boruto, by the end of Boruto and that flash forward, is more powerful than Naruto.
Okay, so here's my hot take. You ready? Actually, I think this is a cold take. By the end of Boruto, they're going to make Boruto stronger than Naruto, but Michael Jordan's better than LeBron. That's my take.
But what about by the end of LeBron James season, like, 8?
When LeBron retires, we can have the conversation. Right now, it's still looking like at the end, I think I'll be a Jordan guy. Now, that may be some of the Jordan brainwashing from my father, because my father is a big Michael Jordan fan, and I love the Last Dance documentary, and I love learning about Jordan and his history, you know? I'm also a big Space Jam guy. I will see Space Jam 2, though, but I think I'm a Jordan guy at heart for this. LeBron could pull it out if he does some ridiculous shit, but I think, like on YouTube, the Jordan clip montages are better.
I'm also on the Jordan side of this debate, but I do really like to cheer LeBron on and hope that maybe one day, because just like an anime, it's not interesting if the same guy's on top the entire time.
Oh, that's true. I'm eagerly awaiting someone to dethrone people like Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan, because it just shows more like human exceptionalism and our ability to be good at things. And I think that's really beautiful. But right now, I just think like Michael Jordan's the GOAT.
The last element, like on that note, that I think makes up a good sports anime is tension. I have to actually feel, one, that there's a chance of losing, which again, you can do a lot more in a sports anime because he's not going to fucking die at the end of some life-threatening battle. But also, you know, it's normal to lose in sports, and what the stakes of that loss are, an author can really play with, whether it's like a sparring match or it's the big tournament or something like that, and how much of an emotional impact that's going to have on the character. But also, you got to give me a reason to turn the page. So when you're watching sports, like a football game, you can tune out and you can watch commercials and you can do whatever, as long as it's not like a particularly close game and you're not super worried about it. But you never can have that feeling in your sports anime or your sports manga. Probably one of my favorite versions of this is Eye Shield 21, where one of the characters whose name escapes me for some reason, he's the quarterback, and he always talks about if there's even a possibility, a slightly above 0% chance of winning, there's a chance of winning. Now, in real people sports, this might not be true. You should play like that's true. You should always play like that's true. But when someone says it in an anime or manga, it basically becomes the law of the universe. And from that point on, you can never count the Damon Devil Bats out, because there's always a shot. Or even if they're losing, there's some other emotional thing happening on that field. There's a symbolic victory you need to see if it's going to happen or not.
like cases where someone, it doesn't matter if they win or lose the game, as long as the one character does the thing they need to do to like finish their arc or whatever. You know, like a victory yeah. isn't always a victory, which I totally agree with. That being said,
In iShield 21, one of the biggest versions of that is the first time Senna, who is iShield 21, the titular iShield 21, is going up against like the best linebacker from their region of Japan, and they're not going to win this game. But he wants them to keep playing as hard as possible because he wants to get past this linebacker whose name is Shin just one time.
Yeah. No, that's exactly like the kind of moment that I mean. And I think those moments can, depending on the character's arc, be even more impressive than the victory of the game, or more important than the victory of the game. Now, before we go on to the next section, I need to say a couple things. One, it's okay that you forgot that anime character's name, because today, while I was out working, I saw someone who goes to our school that, like, I'm kind of friends with, and I didn't remember his name until, literally right now. I went on my Instagram to try and find him. Couldn't do it. Literally couldn't find this person, and his name just came to me while you were talking about iShield 21. So, it's okay. You can apologize to your Japan cartoons. Two, a non-sports series that does the tension really well is Hunter x Hunter, and the reason it does the tension really well is because Gon, like, his win-loss rate is like almost 50%. He gets his ass beat all the time, so you're genuinely never sure how those fights are going to go for the most part, and I like it that way in sports too. And three, my final point is some of the most intense matches for me are when your sports series puts all of the main protagonist and antagonist teams into like a qualifying tournament, and you don't know which of the main antagonists are going to be present at the big tournament that is like the final arc of that area, you know? Like when at the start of Kuroko no Basket, every team is competing in the locals, and not every antagonist and protagonist's team gets to go to the big tournament. And then at the big tournament, they introduce new antagonist teams, which hopefully are well fleshed out and get to be their own main antagonists. But I like qualifying tournaments in the way that while we basically almost always know our protagonists are going to go, we don't know what other teams they may have to face off at the more pivotal moments of their future, which is a thing I love.
There's also those interesting moments that you get in sports anime, more commonly than other types of anime, where your antagonist for maybe an arc or an episode or two is your protagonist because they're going up against another antagonist team.
Oh, yeah, those are so good. Like when a person in Kuroko no Basket from the Generation of Miracles, who you've grown to see as like a side, as like a deuteragonist or something at this point, goes against a team from another city or something that's like another big antagonist team, and it's like you're watching fucking Joey Wheeler duel Merrick before Yugi does, you know? Because you know there's a chance they could win, but you have no idea how it's going to turn out. That shit, fantastic.
One of my favorites is there's an arc of iShield 21 where a team called the Wild Gunmen have a quarterback named Kid who basically doesn't have any ambition. Like, he doesn't want to be the best because being competitive kind of burned him in his previous life, essentially, and ruined his life. And during this tournament, which is one of the most important tournaments of the series, for just a moment, you see him want to win. And then he gets fucking sacked.
That's so good.
It is honestly more emotional than a lot of the main cast games are.
Admittedly, I think moments like that are kind of, like, those kind of side emotional moments are one of that author's strengths. As someone who hasn't read iShield 21, that's the same author who is currently writing Dr. Stone, and Dr. Stone has a lot of those side emotional moments that sometimes, because of how these characters are presented, hit a hell of a lot harder than the big wins or the big losses of the main cast, just because of how good that author is at fleshing out rosters of characters.
Which, name hats off.
Oh, yeah. No, hats off. Fucking impressive.
I think it's impressive, and I think it's a skill that a lot of people who write sports manga and anime have, and maybe is necessary, because again, like we talked about, if that surrounding cast isn't good, it becomes really hard to be interested in the character. Also, before we move on to anything else, I had a question for you. Is it just me, or do sports manga and anime seem to have more longevity of quality than most other things, and also memory?
So thinking through it, I'm trying to make sure this isn't like confirmation bias of just like the most popular sports manga being good, because stuff like Aishul 21, Slam Dunk, Kuroko no Basket, Hikaru no Go are all excellent manga in my experience with them. Ippo, things like that. I think you're kind of just right. I'm not sure why that is a thing that happens, but I definitely see, compared to insert long-running battle shown in here, the ability of a sports show to kind of keep its quality level up, or a sports manga to keep its quality level up, is pretty impressive, actually, now that I'm thinking about some of the series like Ippo or Hikaru no Go or Slam Dunk, which are really long and quality start to finish, which is kind of rare for a lot of series, at least shonen series, because seinen stuff can get really long and be really good, like Berserk. But I see where you're coming from, I think.
I also find interesting that they seem to stay in this box of relevance for longer than other anime series. It is incredible to me that in today's world, it is still exciting to get a new season of an Ippo anime or of a Baki the Grappler anime, or even the amazing Captain Tsubasa video game that's coming out. Like, what business does a Captain Tsubasa video game have coming out in 2020?
First of all, it has absolutely all of the business coming out, because it's going to be good and no one can convince me otherwise.
And it looks really good.
We're going to play it this fall and I'm really excited about it. We'll review it on the podcast. In an anime news break, but I'm thinking about like Haikyuu, cover to cover, at least in the anime, from people who have watched all of it. I have not watched all of it. People tell me it's kept its quality in all of the seasons, and that it's just been a good ride all the way through. Kuroko no Basket gets better as it goes on, and it's 80 episodes almost. You know, I hate that, like, I have to keep coming back to Kuroko no Basket because it's one of the few sports series I've read and watched completion of. But yeah, they just seem, at least like watching Naruto, which is a thing that I recently did some of with a friend of ours. Sometimes Naruto gets really slow, and sometimes Hunter x Hunter gets really slow, and a lot of long-running series, even shorter series, get slow at a lot of moments. So, but not slow in like a good feel the pacing, develop your characters way, slow in like a dull way. And I think it goes back to the pacing talent of sports manga authors. Because if your series is paced effectively, then you're never gonna, or you're much less likely to get burnt out on it. And if the pacing is really good, then it'll set the stage for the author to continue to tell stories that are hitting hard emotionally and getting these perfectly timed payoffs, which leads to higher longevity of quality, I think.
I think that that's definitely part of it. And maybe to use an analogy, it's kind of like a really good RPG. So when you really break it down, when you're playing an RPG or role-playing game, a lot of the game is just walking around and doing, like, going point A to point B for some reason, or something like Monster Hunter, since this is an anime podcast and Monster Hunter is basically anime.
Monster Hunter is an anime game. The dude who makes Monster Hunter is, he's literally an anime character. Go for it.
It's doing the same task, be it a very rad task, over and over and over again, but it never quite gets tiring, and I think that it just has a lot to do with the pace. So maybe in that way, role-playing games and sports anime are sort of built the same way.
I agree. And I think Monster Hunter is a great example of this, because for those who don't know, Monster Hunter is a video game series in which you hunt monsters, but the prep time and the work put in to prepare for a hunt or a really difficult hunt is sometimes even more time than the hunt itself is. And that kind of lends itself, at least in the way the game is designed, to exceptional highs and lows of speed of like gameplay in a way that makes the game feel paced perfectly. Because I always spend just enough time preparing and just enough time fighting the monster to make everything just feel correct, I guess. And I know this has been a lot of analysis on our Not Analysis podcast, but you're not allowed to get mad at us because we're fucking talking about anime basketball. So, whatever. Get mad at me.
That's true. And you never feel cheated out of your time either. And I think this is also very important. Because in some shonen anime, you can legitimately feel cheated out of your time. Like, if something's not, like, satisfying.
The second half of Naruto, other than, like, one or two moments, made me feel like a fool. I got to see Kakashi fight Obito. I got to see Madara whack some people. And I got to see Naruto and Sasuke fight. But other than that, those 200 episodes, 300 fucking chapters, get that out of here. It was such a waste of time. But I don't feel that way about any sports series that I've ever engaged with.
I don't either. I think that the pacing, again, is just immaculate. And maybe continuing with the role-playing game sports anime and manga analogy, I want to posit an argument to you, Shrey.
Okay, hit me with this. Is this argument going to change the way that I look at all of existence?
Maybe.
Okay.
So, I want to posit the argument that Log Horizon and other video game isekai that take the video game part, or something like No Game, No Life, very seriously, are sports anime walking around in a trench coat.
Okay. Okay. So, everyone, before we started recording, he told me that he had a proposition that was brought on by him watching a anonymous live streamer that he refused to tell me about. So before I answer your question and respond to this genius idea, who is the streamer?
Oh, no, it was literally Blizzard.
Oh, fuck you. What were you watching on Blizzard in 2020? Stop it.
So I won. It's weird that I am a person who is interested in so many esports who didn't think about esports. And I don't think there are any esports anime or manga yet.
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong. Wait, there was that one Chinese show from 2016 that was about an esports player, and it was supposed to be really fucking good.
That one did happen. You're right.
I haven't seen that, but yeah, I heard of it.
The thing I was going to point to was there's an amazing StarCraft II visual novel that might be free on Steam. If not, it's only a couple bucks.
You've told me about this visual novel more times than I feel comfortable telling the people who listen to this podcast. This is a monthly thing.
That said, having overlooked esports, I owe it to Blizzard Entertainment for opening my mind because of a live stream of competitive World of Warcraft raiding.
Okay. So, that's fair. I understand how that made the brain synapses fire in such a way to where you could tell me unironically that Log Horizon is a sports anime in a trench coat trying to get into a R-rated movie that is sports anime exclusive. I get what you're saying. I do think the thing that separates many of video game isekai from sports anime is that, at least in my experience, one of the main appeals of isekai is exploring the other world and being quote unquote in the other world. And I know the counter argument to this is that people who don't play basketball are going to think the basketball parts are like another world. I knew that shit. If that wasn't coming, I'm disappointed in you, first of all. Second, I think there is a difference between the other world of playing soccer and the other world of getting fucking trapped in SAO.
Well, I'm not talking about SAO.
Actually doesn't count. I actually see where you're going in the head. I don't think SAO is a sports anime.
This is why I tried to make the distinction. It has to take its RPG elements super seriously. And the reason I use Log Horizon as an example of this, right, is because other than like a few let's unlock the mysteries of why we're here and how it's affecting us and how we can live parts, sub in for the character drama bits of a normal sports anime, the characters, unlike the denizens of Aincrad and Sword Art Online, are very familiar with the MMO that they're trapped in. They are years long, almost career players of this MMO. There is an entire opening arc of a season that is this them wiping in the same raid over and over again, trying to come up with a good raid strategy.
Okay. I am willing to at least give some credit. Like sports anime clout is what I will say. Some sports anime clout to trapped in video game series that take the video game elements very seriously, only because I think that's the closest we currently have to esports anime. In that vein, I think you are correct. Now, before we move on, say the funny line about Log Horizon.
Oh. Well, now that we know Log Horizon's a sports anime, it's obviously getting a season 3 because all of those run forever. Sports anime run forever.
And my favorite sports anime, Kuroko no Basket, has 3 seasons. Ho, ho, ho. There you go. Thank you. We're very funny and everyone likes this. Fuck, I couldn't even say it. Everyone likes this podcast. On that note, we did the funny joke. Go. You know where to go. The next big section of the discussion.
Yeah. The next big section. Actually, fuck it. I'm going to put one more roadblock here. Oh,
my fucking God. Okay.
Just you wait till Shiroe shows up in a fucking Bulls jersey. That was it.
I hate the fact that there's so many isekai characters that would look so fucking rad in a Bulls jersey, dude. Oh, my God.
It's a good jersey.
So many anime characters would look insane in a Bills jersey, dude. Oh my God. I say Bills, holy shit.
Yeah, they wouldn't look good in Bills jerseys.
No. Only Bills fans look good in Bills jerseys, and those people are a different breed of human in a good way. Those people are fucking powerful. You ever meet like a diehard Bills fan? That's some superhuman shit. But on that note.
Okay, so the next section of this conversation. As much as we have given flowers to sports anime all over the world, what makes a bad sports anime or could make a bad sports anime?
If the cast is bloated to a point where I'm forgetting characters or to the point where I'm not caring about a majority of these characters because they're not being given enough time to develop, I think it is easier to mess up the character part of the sports story than it is to mess up the sports part, even if I think it can be messed up. Someone could conceivably get the character part right, but just make the sports part abysmal. The biggest roadblock I see is someone who's really good at writing the sports part, but doesn't know how to write the characters, so I don't care about the sports part. And nothing comes to mind for me with that. Because I'm not the most experienced sports anime fan, and I really haven't had a big negative experience with sports anime, but I do think some sports anime are worse, and this is where I'm about to get fucking shit on. You ready? Everyone's gonna get mad at me. You ready?
You had shit talk Free or something?
No, I like Free. No.
Okay, that's fair. I was just double checking because I might have had to be everyone.
Free was the first sports anime I was ever experienced with, because the first girl I ever dated freshman year of high school was a big Free fan.
Everyone was a big Free fan.
That's also how I got on a Fairy Tale. But I, as much as this series does a lot of things well, I have some issues with Haikyuu Admittedly, I also have issues with Kuroko no Basket, and I think they are good at doing things that the other series is bad at. But at least for me, in Kuroko no Basket, in some cases, I struggle to care about some of the characters, especially near the end. In Haikyuu, I only watched the first season. For whatever reason, I wasn't drawn into the action as much as most people are. And yes, it looks really pretty. And yes, I am a absolute degenerate for shows looking really pretty. But I just couldn't care about the action going on in Haikyuu, and I don't know why.
That's interesting, because I think Haikyuu, in a lot of senses, is one of the most shonen sports shows I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it felt like the action was a little bit empty, or that you'd seen it before, or like it was like the popcorn of the steak that is really good sports anime.
That's fair. I don't think Haikyuu's bad, to clarify. In fact, I think Production IG has done a very good job, and that series is really pretty, and a lot of the openings are good. But for whatever reason, my heart just wasn't in Haikyuu, and I never picked up any of the later seasons, which is a shame. Because Anime News Corner time, baby. That was a segue, because we're talking about Haikyuu for the Anime News Corner this week, in the fact that it's a shame I didn't get into Haikyuu, because they're getting stage plays. The first stage play of Haikyuu debuted in late 2015, but they're getting another one called Dumpster Battle, and I wish I loved Haikyuu as much as the Haikyuu fans do, because then I'd be more hyped for the stage play. But if you think I'm not about to go figure out a way to very legally watch this 2015 stage play, you're crazy. Anyways, everyone go
very
watch-
legally.
Exceptional. Legally to an obscene degree. In fact, I will be calling my local police station and informing them that I am legally watching the Haikyuu stage play. And they will think I'm on drugs, but that's okay. Thus concludes Trey's Anime News Corner. I'm sorry, I don't think Haikyuu is like a 9 or something. I think the first season was like a strong 7. I enjoyed it, but not enough to continue. You can yell at me in Twitter, I guess.
I think it's fair to criticize Haikyuu. I think it's fair to criticize a lot of these shows. One, but I could definitely see where you're coming from with the Haikyuu critiques. I kind of go in a different direction when I think of bad sports anime.
Yeah.
I think sports anime gets bad when a couple things happen. You focus on animation over characters, which happens a lot. Like, it happens a lot in sort of the shovelware of sports anime.
That's fair.
When it doesn't innovate, I think that it can drag on. And you don't get that good pacing. One series that I thought had really great potential. Actually, two series that I think suffer from this problem of bad pacing that is more noticeable in sports anime that I think had really good potential. Prince of Stride, which is like a free-running race anime. And Minami Kamakura High School Girls Cycling Club.
Okay. That was a really long name, and you pronounced it correctly.
Thank you. Which is a series that I really enjoyed as it was sort of coming out. And I realized about halfway through, or at least halfway through my time with it, that I just really wasn't interested in what the characters were doing or the races anymore, because I'd kind of seen it before. Not like specifically a girls' cycling club, but like the same story beats and same like general structure.
Do you think that maybe because it was less of a sports anime and more of a cute girls do thing anime, which is an entirely different genre?
I think that's possible, but I think that because it had sort of this dual identity, I couldn't get into it the same way that I could get into one of those sort of specialized slice of life shows.
So because it didn't have an identity of being a, it didn't lean hard enough in the direction of being a sport anime like Kuroko no Basket or something, or being a cute girls do stuff anime like K-On!, because it didn't lean enough in a certain direction, you felt like it kind of didn't have an identity you could get behind?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense in my head.
As far as things that have really good animation but let their stories suffer as a result. One that I want to say came out in 2017 was Two Car, which was like a motorcycle and sidecar racing anime. And the animation was super pretty, but there wasn't a lot going on in the story. Another one was Kendagawa Jet Girls, which was like a jet skiing anime. Also, you'll notice that a lot of these that I'm like, these were kind of bad examples, have female cast as the majority. And this isn't that female cast as the majority is inherently bad for an anime, but unfortunately writers misuse these female characters not as strong leads or strong characters, but as vehicles for fan service.
This is going to sound really weird, but I unironically think this is a strength of the Keijo manga. So hear me out. Keijo, as addressed earlier, we didn't tell you this, is basically about playing Wipeout, but it's competitive and you're trying to knock other women into pools off of the floating platforms with your breasts and butt. This is what Keijo is as a fantasy sport, right? And in the anime, the first episode is a game of Keijo being played. And it's very fan servicey, obviously, as a series of this nature would be. But the manga doesn't do that. The manga has like multiple volumes of just character development and like really fleshing out these female leads who are competing in Keijo before you ever get your first Keijo match, which is something that I don't really see done a bunch in female majority cast sports anime, as few and far between as they may be.
Yeah, it's worth noting that the Keijo anime is way more of an ecchi and almost at times like hentai show than the manga actually is, which kind of sucks.
Because the manga's good. I like the Keijo manga, unironically.
And I think that, again, there is absolutely nothing wrong, and I think that manga would actually do a lot better to include more female characters in lead roles that have the same amount of writing effort put into them as their male counterparts in things like Kurokonomasket and Free, but too often they become a vehicle for something else, or sometimes they're literally just there to look pretty. Not look pretty in a sexual way, but in the case of Jet Girls, there is a lot of fan service, right? But also, that show just looks really good.
That's fair. I will say, I think their manager is done relatively well in Kurokonobasket. And while she may not be as fleshed out as some of the main basketball competitors, she does exist as more than just like a vehicle for comedy or whatever. And she is genuinely a character that has her own motivations and is doing a bunch of great stuff throughout the series. And that being said, I think she's like the only female character in that series that I feel that way about. Like, the woman in love with Kuroko doesn't really do a bunch for me, you know, which is a shame. Yeah. But there, I notice they're often relegated to manager roles or leadership roles, you know, or comedy roles, basically, like to be on the fucking bench doing the anime reactions, you know?
Yeah. And I think a series that do well with their female characters, actually, I can't even say series in particular, because I can only think of one off the top of my head, is a martial arts series called Air Master. But yes, even Air Master, for like as good as it is, still has a lot of ecchi moments, which comes with the territory in anime, but still, like, it's a very serious manga, so sometimes it feels kind of out of place.
Can you tell people what Air Master is about, please?
In what way would you like me to
tell them the plot conceit of Air Master?
I'm confused with what, you know what, you do it, because I'm confused with what like thing you want me to hit on.
Air Master, in the sense that it's kind of a sports anime, for those who don't know, is about a gymnast using her gymnastic abilities to become a really cool street fighter. And I just wanted to share that because Air Master is really good and you should all go read and or watch it because it's fun and I like the idea. That's just a cool premise.
Okay, I was wondering if you were like, it's a cool premise or if there's something I was missing, because I was just like, it's just a gymnast that also kicks ass in her free time. I'm so confused.
No, I just wanted you to tell people that just because I like it. and telling people, hey, it's a good anime with at the very least a well-written female lead where it's a gymnast kicking people's asses in her free time, I think that would convince people to go watch a great show with a great protagonist.
And if you want to see that same premise done really badly, you can look at the Miyu arc of Kenichi, History's Greatest Disciple, which is a manga I love, but damn.
You've shown me some moments of Kenichi, and there is a certain person who runs a bigger anime podcast than ours who loves him some Kenichi. I promise I'll get to it eventually, as I do most things. I read 10 chapters of Berserk this week. Are you proud of me?
I am proud of you. Also, to be fair, an anime that does this same thing that's not like an all-female cast, IGPX, if anyone remembers that, the weird mecha racing show, that's a sport. Don't worry about it.
Oh my god, you said racing show and my brain just reminded me.
What did it remind you?
Initial D is a really good sports anime.
Initial D is a really good sports anime.
It's memed all to hell, but it's actually just really good. I just had to put that out there.
But yeah, IGPX, which was the show about giant robots that also did like weird street racing shit, essentially, had beautiful animation, but the story was really weird and disjointed, and you could never quite tell what was going on, but the characters clearly had background and motivations, but it was just like, eh. And like, I've even revisited it because I like the mech designs, and I thought maybe it was because I was watching it on Toonami, so I was seeing the episodes in the wrong order, or it was because of airing time. But no, it's just sort of a disjointed story.
That is disappointing. I don't like that. But I really do like the mech designs on IGPX, so I'm glad we got that shill in there, and I'm glad we had a 10-minute tangent where we basically just told people who have a cooler job than us because they get to write manga, but that they should put more women in their sports anime, because I think that's important. Because there's so much potential for sports that haven't been touched yet and for sports that have been touched yet to have more well-rounded and diverse casts. So there you go. Two thumbs up. I did a two thumbs up in person, but I realized none of you can see me do that because, yeah.
I definitely agree. And I think that possibly one of the ones I would love to see, and I'd love to see a male version of this too, but I'm super interested in what the female version of this would look like, is a female MMA sports manga, because I find female MMA fighting to be way more entertaining to watch.
I feel the same way about soccer. Actually, as much as I'm not like the hugest soccer fan, and I don't really have any experience with a bunch of soccer anime or manga or football, we have one international listener. We have one singular person, so I gotta say it. We have one guy or girl or neither or both. The female soccer anime and manga has the potential to be one of the most intense and also incredibly character driven sports manga ever, if done correctly. So someone get on that.
Definitely. So I think we're going to use the last about third or so of our show to just sort of recommend to you guys sports anime to watch in a more direct fashion. Of course, we've talked about what makes good ones and what we think of good ones, but we haven't really been like, hey, watch this and watch it because it's really good. So Trey, you can start us off, just like pick a show. What do you think people should be watching?
This is the first sports anime that I watched to completion. It is something that has come up a lot in the conversation already, and it is something I cannot recommend enough, especially to fans both of basketball and of anime in general, specifically some shonen anime, especially JoJo's fans, is Kuroko no Basket. It is gorgeously done by Production IG before they were doing Haikyuu. Specifically, season 2 and season 3 are fantastic. It has a very good balance of animation quality, intense sporting action, and just the right amount of one or two episodes in between every arc where you get a lot of good time with a lot of these characters. Many of the characters are very quirky and memorable in very interesting ways. And while I don't think it's 10, In fact, I think depending on which season it is, it ranges from medium 8 to medium 9 for me, right? Kurokona Basket in my brain is the go-to, how do you get someone who's not big into sports anime to like hype sports anime? And the reason I say that is because it's basketball with great character development, which is already a sport that lends itself to being very engaging because it's a very high octane sport compared to certain sports. And it leans into the anime bullshit superpowers more than a lot of sports anime does, which may make it easier for non-sports fans to enjoy, because as much as watching Haikyuu is cool, right, and as much as it's incredible to get into Ippo, it may be easier for someone to make the transition from Naruto or JoJo's or their more traditional shonen battle series into specifically Kurokona Basket, because if people with bullshit powers like I can sense the whole field all at once, I can move so stealthily that no one knows where I am, I can mimic any basketball technique, I'm so lucky that on my lucky day I never miss a shot, etc. It's basically like people with stands and anime superpowers playing basketball, which is why I think it's a good introductory series to someone who's looking to get into sports anime because of how similar it is to non-sports shows.
I think that's definitely a fair assessment of Kurokona Basket, and I think that Kurokona Basket, for the person who is already an anime fan and jumping off into sports anime, is an amazing way to do it, because I think it shares the most in common with popular long-running shonen, while also just being better animated than a lot of popular long-running shonen, and the characters not only being legitimately endearing, but also legitimately funny a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah, this manga and anime are really funny. There is the odd beach episode, which is fantastic, as all beach episodes are. A lot of the running gags are really good. These characters are endearing. They're a lot of fun. And specifically when you get into season 2 and 3, they really flex their anime budget and their anime, like, just getting wild with it. And for people who have seen it, I'm not going to spoil what it is, but there's basically like basketball Super Saiyan. I won't tell you what it's called or how it works or anything, but they get a cool season 2 and 3 power up for like the best players. And specifically when that happens, the animation quality goes through the roof, because this kind of series is exactly Production IG's bread and butter. And for those who may not know, Production IG has done Haikyuu, a bunch of other series. They're known for making really good series. A branch of them did Vinland Saga. A branch of them did the prettiest parts of Attack on Titan. This is a high pedigree of team in general, just sort of making quality sports entertainment. So that's like a great jumping off point for the not yet sports anime fan.
I think that for my first recommendation, and I think we're probably only going to do like 2 or 3 each.
Yeah.
Is Hajime no Ippo. It is one of the anime and manga that's sort of synonymous with sports anime and manga because of how long it's been going, but also because it's had consistent quality across all of those chapters and episodes. And you, more than in other sports shows, feel the growth of each of these characters, as well as it being a legitimately good show about boxing. And if you like boxing, then you get a lot out of this show and you learn a little bit about boxing if you're not into boxing and watching this show. And of course, it's not all accurate. Of course, there's a level of anime bullshit. But what is commendable about Ippo is that there's a little bit of boxing lore sort of peppered throughout the entire series that not only adds the spice of the actual sport, but lends to the tension. So little things that happen, like one of the boxers getting a cut above the eye and their vision being blocked a little bit or their eye swelling up, become really big things because of the amount you're able to zoom in on the problem and explore in an animated medium. And moments like that and moments where you're just with the characters are where Ippo shines.
And EPO specifically is very excellent to get into if you're looking for something meaty to dive into, because while having multiple seasons of fantastically animated EPO media to consume, this manga has been running weekly with, I think, a few brief hiatuses for a long fucking time, and is something that if you really love this world and these characters and the way it presents boxing, is high quality for well over 1,000 chapters at this point. And it can really be like, if you want to dive into the world of a specific sports series, that is another great strength of EPO, is just the quantity of good content at your disposal.
Yeah. Also, if you're like a binge watcher slash reader, or if you're just looking for something long form to do while we're all stuck inside or trying to be careful, EPO will keep you busy.
EPO will keep you busy. Do you have anything else to say on EPO, or am I good to go?
No, you're good to go.
Number two for me, and I have three in my head. Number two for me is the Art House Shitheads sports anime. And I say that endearingly as an Art House Shithead. And there's someone that listens to this podcast who is gonna get mad that I called fans of this an Art House Shithead, but everyone should do themselves the pleasure of watching Masaki Uesa's Ping Pong the Animation. As we know, I really, really love Sakuga. I love great animation in general. I love getting really creative with it. I love watching masters of the industry really flex their stuff in a bunch of my favorite series. And everything Masaki Uesa does is beautiful in its own special way, right? Whether it be the newest series that he's worked on, which was Aizuken, which was a series that was this beautiful send-off to animation as a whole and making anime, that was one of the most visually distinct and enjoyable series of like the past couple of years for me. And that was very poppy and very hand-drawn and aesthetic. Ping Pong is fucking crazy. Go watch the OP to Ping Pong, and you will know if Ping Pong's for you. Like, genuinely, I think it is that easy. If you see the opening for Ping Pong and you love the style they've got going on and you love the aesthetic and you want to watch something that just doesn't look like other anime or like other sports anime at all, and you want it wrapped up in a beautiful package about just sort of a lot of really good self-actualizing character drama, it is the Art House Kids anime for sports through and through. And dude, you can watch it in a weekend, you can watch it in an evening, really. It's not long, it's really special, really unique, and telling you any real detail about it, I think, kind of ruins some of the beauty of it.
I definitely agree, so I'll keep my thoughts about it short. If you're someone who enjoys weird, crazy, or just interesting animation, this is the sports anime for you. If you're someone who enjoys a colorful character drama that you wouldn't expect to get out of weird animation, this is for you. And if you like Wes Anderson movies, this is for you.
And if you've ever seen anything else Masaki Uesa has touched and you've liked it, this is for you. But if you've seen something else by Masaki Uesa and loved it enough to love this, you've probably already seen this or other stuff that he has done. So that's all I have to say on it. Anything else, you just do yourself the service of experiencing this weird, beautiful microcosm of Uesa's fucking brain.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. My next recommendation, a little weird. And I'll say that this is really a show you should watch only if you're into the oldies, right? Like, if you're the kind of person that can sit down and still watch original Astro Boy, you can get through this okay. Otherwise, it might be a bit of a rough watch, and I realize recommending this in 2020 is like, dude, what the fuck? But Speed Racer is a legitimately good racing show. It's fun, it's goofy, it's wacky, and has some legitimate family drama in it that you probably wouldn't expect from a sports show that's that old. And yes, race cars are sports. Fight me. Also, anime bullshit Mach 5.
That is true. I like a lot of Speed Racer media. I haven't watched the original, but from what I've seen in Speed Racer media in general, it's sports. Anyone who thinks racing isn't sports needs to go watch Initial D. And that's not a recommendation. That's like a long form one. Just trust me. I can't comment on this one super hard because I have not seen it. What I can say is I trust Xavier's opinion on this very deeply. I already know what his third recommendation is going to be. And if he's putting it in the same caliber as his first recommendation and what I expect his third recommendation to be, it is worth your time, or at least worth giving it a handful of episodes to see if it's worth your time, especially if you are okay with that older aesthetic.
I will say also that if you're not okay with the older aesthetic, they have made newer versions of Speed Racer. I can't for the life of me think of the super modernized animation one, and I'm going to look it up right now, but I remember it was also good, though not as good, mind you. But in the meantime, while I'm looking for that, Speed Racer The Next Generation was okay, if you're looking for something with a more American style.
I saw the live-action Speed Racer movie in theaters when it came out, which kind of puts me... At this point, anyone can figure out exactly how old you and I are, but that's, there you go. You get another hint.
The also, Speed Racer, that's just really good.
Oh, it's a good movie. It's some anime bullshit, but it's a really good movie. Even if people, for whatever reason, don't like that movie. I've heard a lot of shit talking on that movie, and those people are wrong.
Yeah, I can't find the exact name of it, but there is some like weirdly super mature Speed Racer show in modern animation that like, you could consider it like the Batman of Speed Racer. And when I say the Batman, I mean Kids WB's The Batman, not the concept of Batman.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. Because I thought you meant that like the new Speed Racer was the concept of Batman for Speed Racer. And I was fucking confused. I had no idea what that meant. Are you good with Speed Racer?
Oh, it was called Speed Racer X. I just found it.
Okay. There you go. On that note, no more speed. I'm sorry. Cutting you off. a show that may also be pretty approachable for a different crowd for different reasons is a series that is not Yuri in the slightest. Yuri on Ice. Yuri on Ice is a anime that most people listening to this podcast have probably seen. I'll be real. But in case you haven't, it was popular, very popular when it came out. It came out in 2016, I think, maybe 2017. And it's a figure skating anime that is really pretty. The OP is gorgeous. The animation of the various figure skating scenes is fantastic. If you want to know the studio, it was Studio MAPPA, who is already known for making gorgeous things, normally involving fights, right? But they put all of that good fight animation work into making some of the most beautiful displays of just motion in anime that I've seen in a while. And this is a series where the first time I watched it, I wasn't super hot on it, which is funny because it, haha, Ice. But on a second watch at
Todoroki.
Todoroki. Look at that guy. On a second rewatch at Xavier's bequest, this is really special. Now it's called Yuri on Ice, not because it's haha Yuri lesbians, but because multiple of the main characters are named Yuri. But it's got a really great romance. It's got what I think is a pretty great cast of characters, if a little bit not fleshed out for my liking, but it's only 12 episodes, so you get what you get. Yuri on Ice is for the person who doesn't want the high octane action of like Kuroko no Basket. They want the character drama. They want the romance. They want the slower paced beauty of sports anime, at least for me. So if you like taking your time with anime, if you like an anime that is willing to be quiet at moments and just take in beauty, this might be for you.
Yeah, I don't think I can put it much differently. It's just a really beautiful series. and very much an outlier in sports anime in that it's one of the few sports anime that leans heavy into its romantic slice of life side and does it really well.
And while doing that, it's not aggressively fan service-y with shirtless hot boys. And while that's in there, it's not like in your face in the same way that like Free might be. And this is coming from someone who likes Free. Obviously in Free, they're all shirtless because it's a swimming anime. But this has, for me, the perfect balance of what you're trying to do if you are leaning harder into the romance slice of life part of your sports story, as well as the fact that like figure skating, ice skating, not super common in animation in general, you know, not super common in anime, and honestly is unironically enough to get you like hyped for the next Winter Olympics. At least it did for me when I watched it. I'm, at least on the rewatch, I'm genuinely excited to watch figure skating again in the Winter Olympics if those happen, COVID, haha. And I've always enjoyed it in the past, but this is the kind of sports anime that really breeds an appreciation for the sport, as well as just an appreciation for people. That's that for
me. Definitely agree. Also, before I move on to my final recommendation, I actually have a side note that's going to re-confuse the listeners as to our age if they don't already know it.
Oh no!
The Speed Racer series, Speed Racer X, I was like, oh yeah, it's got more modern animation, so maybe it'll be more palatable. Do you know when that was released, Trey?
When?
1997.
God damn it.
I mean, it does look a whole lot better, and it does look really modern. But like...
So at this point, to clarify for the audience, you and I are somewhere in the age range of 16 to 35.
Maybe 40s. You never know.
Listen to me. No one listening to this is like, yeah, Xavier, 38. Nobody's fucking doing that. Absolutely not. Let me Google something real quick.
What are you Googling?
Do you really think anybody listening to this podcast is like, these guys born like during the Reagan era?
Yes.
You would think anyone listening to this podcast is like, those guys born like maybe late 70s, even early 80s. No, stop it. No one.
I could believe it.
No one thinks you watched Speed Racer X like on fucking release in 97. Stop it. That being said, you can take away the third and I suppose final recommendation, because I don't really have honorable mentions other than the ones I've said, like Initial D.
I also don't have any honorable mentions, mostly because there are so many good sports anime. My honorable mentions list would be miles long. But my final recommendation is perhaps my favorite sports anime. This is not to say best, but I think that in my subjective scale of great things, it's a 10 out of 10. Eye Shield 21 is what I think the epitome of all the things we said earlier in the show make a good sports anime, in that it has this incredible cast of characters that are endearing and lovable, and even the most useless member of the team gets a satisfying emotional payoff. The pacing is amazing. Whether it's going from tournament to tournament, to dealing with their training, to dealing with their personal lives, it always feels like you're invested and that there's some tense moment going on. And it's one of those things that you get into and you start to enjoy, whether it's the anime or the manga, and before you know it, it's over because you've spent all that time with it and it just went by so fast because you enjoyed it so much.
If the people haven't realized yet, I get really emotional over anime and manga, obviously. You know, if my Yuri on Ice little rant there didn't convince you of that, I don't know what will. But I am currently unable to comment on Eye Shield 21, as I have read very little of it, watched none of it. I can comment on the pedigree of this mangaka's work, in that I do like Dr. Stone a lot, which is a series penned by the same author with a different artist. So I know they are good at writing manga. All I can really say is I do genuinely trust Xavier's taste in anime and in manga from the time I've spent being an anime friend of his. And the way that Xavier talks about iShield 21 has convinced me enough that it's special, or at least in some way is worth the experience and is something unique within anime and manga for sports as a whole, as well as the fact that it's about American football, which might be a sport some of you are more comfortable approaching, because while we do have that one guy from Asia, or that one girl, I don't know, a majority of sports manga doesn't tend to deal with American football, but our American audience will no doubt understand or know many a person who know about American football because of things like fantasy football being ridiculously popular here, or the Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So it's approachable in that sense, and I really can't say anything other than the way people speak about this manga has already convinced me that it's something special, and it's one of the things I plan to tackle upon my eventual completion of the last, like, 70 chapters of Berserk.
And oddly enough, on that topic of American football, iShield 21, in a lot of ways, is unique in that it doesn't shy away from the fact that everyone is like, it's weird for us to be Japanese and playing American football. And because of that, there's a scarcity of tournaments that really matter in our home country. So everything we do has to count, and it adds a layer of tenseness. And eventually they do make it to the international stage in one way or another, not saying they're good enough to be there, but they make it there, and they're looked down on for being Japanese and daring to play American football. Also, iShield 21 doesn't run away from the issues of sports and actually has a long form arc that's essentially about racism and the preferential treatment for African American athletes and their use or how people use them, rather, to prop up their own agendas through their participation in sports, and how for a lot of African American families, sports is seen as this way to seek betterment in life through an amazing character called Panther.
And for any of you who may not be knowledgeable in American race politics or international race politics, that's not exactly the most common topic for an anime or manga to tackle, let alone a sports anime and manga meant for a younger audience. So the fact that it handles it, at least supposedly, so well is a big fucking deal.
Yeah, and I realize, like, that's a big claim to make. And of course, it's a manga, so, like, a lot of the things it does are childish, right? But it's something that's not done, and this is one of the few manga and mangaka who have dared to even try to look at this issue. And I think, at least, that for a first attempt, and even, like, an attempt in general, he did a very good job.
On that note, I do have one more honorable mention, if you don't have anything else.
That's it for iShield 21. My only honorable mention, and maybe this is just, again, a way of sneaking in Mecha into everything, give, like, Eureka 7 a watch. Because it is a Mecha show, but it's a Mecha show that tries to pretend it's a sports show for a long time.
Eureka 7 is really good. I won't say anything else. Go look into it. If you look at it and you think this is for me, it's probably for you. On that note, there is one thing we didn't mention in any of our manga or anime recommendations, which is we didn't mention anything for the person interested in, like, the board game sport stuff, you know?
That's true.
And in that vein, having not a bunch of experience with it, but I used to work a job where I often moved furniture around and installed furniture in schools, you know? And at this job, I was given the pleasure of spending a lot of time in libraries, and I was able to read a couple of volumes of a manga about a game called Go. And the volumes I was able to read were very excellent, And if you think you may be interested in a weird board game take on sports anime, look into something like Hikaru no Go or Fukumoto, while he has a wild art style. If you really want to get into something galaxy brain, first of all, teach yourself Mahjong and then read Akagi, which is an excellent sports and gambling manga about Mahjong.
Also, if you want another recommendation for something that's board game related, a good board game sports manga that's also a murder mystery, essentially, is Shion no O, which is a shogi manga.
Ooh, that's a fun board game / sport to look at, having learned how to play it but never really being able to play it and having not experienced that manga. On that note, I do have an announcement to make if we're done with our recommendations.
Yeah, go for it.
Everyone here who is listening should very much look forward to our 10th episode, especially if you liked this episode, because we plan these episodes and their topics about a week, 2 weeks in advance. We have had the 10th episode planned since we dropped episode 1. The 10th episode will be Xavier and I pitching the manga concept we came up with one time when we were bored for 6 hours, which I still have the written notes for. I'm looking at them currently. It is a hybrid sport and sport board game manga that we put entirely too much effort into. And there will be some sort of special prize. Like, I'll drop your Twitter handle on the podcast or something. If any of you are able to DM me on Twitter at Sat Anime Pod, and guess what sport we wrote this manga about?
Oh my god.
No one's going to do it, but that's why it's okay. I just want everyone to be hyped up for our future magnum opus episode, the 10th episode of this podcast, because it's all downhill after we pitch this manga. I'll be real. We're not making a better episode than this, but look forward to that.
That's when we launch our manga careers. Yeah.
Yeah, we turn away from being podcast Bakuman into just being Bakuman, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. If you've got nothing else to say, we gotta do our wholesome ending. Would you like to do it? You want me to do it?
Thanks everyone for watching. Special thanks and shout outs to anyone out there who is an actual athlete. You have a hard time of it, and it takes a lot of self-discipline and control to keep going with it for any long period of time, whether that was high school, middle school, college, or your professional life. And I do think that it breeds a good breed of people for the most part. And thank you again, as we will probably do every episode, to the mangaka and anime studios that bring us this incredible material and give us an appreciation for these real world things.
Hell yeah. And for everybody listening, I cannot wait to talk to you next weekend. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. I'm proud of you. Bye.